Let's talk
relationships on You Me Radio.
So what are we talking about?
Marriage, dating, parenting, business,
and love, emotions, sex.
It's a conversation with me, Lady Misty,
and DJ KTE,
on everything from hot topics to taboos.
Join us Mondays at 9 p.m. live on UME Radio.
Follow us at Let's Talk Relationship Show on Facebook or on UME Radio on Instagram. Let's talk relationships. Arguments for the grown.
Get the UME Radio app to listen wherever you are. That is UME Radio. One word.
UME Radio. Positive entertainment 24/7. Subscribe on YouTube and click the notification bell.
Hello.
Well, well, welcome.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you for welcoming me.
Yes, ma'am. It's good to have you here tonight on LTR. Another great Monday night. Crazy weekend.
Yes.
And grateful to be here. I must say.
Who am I?
But again, thank you for being here tonight. To fill in for our amazing.
I'm a bit nervous, but I'm okay.
You never get nervous. You're one of those old soldiers.
I guess he knows me better than I know myself.
There you go. See? A man knows what he knows. Mm-hmm. So, yes, looking forward to a great night tonight. And I see you filled with smiles. So, it looks like you're also in anticipation to have a great night yourself.
You know, it's an interesting topic, so I'm looking forward to it. I had a great day, you know, yes. So I'm going to have a good attitude.
Yes, otherwise we're going to get you.
So let me just say thank you for joining us tonight on Let's Talk Relationships right here on UME Radio. Tonight our panel will be discussing the topic, Are Black Men Raised to Lead a Marriage?
Well, let me say, right? Men raised to lead a marriage.
Yes. Last week, you all asked the question. And before I go ahead, just shout out to Lady Misty. She's in quarantine. And she's not feeling well. So I'm
saying, shout out to her.
Yeah. Love you, love you, love you. But last week, the question was, are Black women raised to marry? So this week we're asking the question of the men. And before we start the conversation, let's hear what the research, the data has to say. Yes?
Yes, I think we should.
Marriage, Help Black Men. That is the title of an article on scholars.com. A portion of that article reads, those who want to boost marriage rates among blacks should focus on improving job opportunities and education for black men. In 2010, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 18.4% of black men were jobless, compared to 9.6% of white men. Black men also earn lower wages than similar white men. Racial disparities persist even at the highest levels of education. Even after holding education constant, black men are still more likely to be unemployed or economically deprived, causing them to fall short of what black women are looking for in partners. The writer points to a 2010 Pew Research Center research that asked respondents to rate the importance of various factors when choosing a mate and found that black women have high aspirations. When asked how important it is that a good husband or partner provides a good income, 2/3 of black women said it is very important, compared to 32% of white women. Roughly 55% of black women said it was very important for a husband or partner to be well-educated, compared to only 28% of white women. Half of the black women said that financial stability should be an important precondition for marriage, but only a quarter of white women felt that way. In another article, published on brookings.edu, under the title, The Challenges Facing Black Men, and the Case for Action, 8 key facts on black men's outcomes were highlighted, in comparison to black women, white women, and white men. 1. Education. In 2019, 28% of Black men ages 25 to 29 had a bachelor's degree or higher, compared to 30% of Black women, over 40% of white men, and nearly half of white women, according to the National Center of Education Statistics in 2019. It also reports that young Black men are poorly served by schools. 2. Upward mobility. Black women and white women raised by low-income parents have similar rates of upward intergenerational mobility, measured in terms of their individual income as adults. A third of white men raised by low-income parents end up in the top 40% of the income distribution as adults, compared to only 19% of Black boys. Reportedly, Black boys raised poor are at most risk of remaining stuck in poverty. 3. Earnings. Black workers, regardless of gender, earn less than white workers, and white men have substantially out-earned white women and Black workers since 1980, according to current population survey data. The results are striking. Black men earn $378 less per week than white men and $125 less than white women. 4. Labor force participation. The labor force participation rate for Black men aged 20 and over is 5.6 percentage points lower than for white men, the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics estimates. Note that this excludes the incarcerated population. Black men are less likely to participate in the labor force. 5. Unemployment during the COVID-19 pandemic. Black men have the highest unemployment rate of civilian non-institutionalized Black and white men, and women over age 20, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. There was a large race gap in unemployment, independent of gender, even before COVID-19 swept the U.S. Black men are twice as likely to be unemployed as white men. 6. Life expectancy. Women live longer than men, on average, but there are big race gaps, too. Life expectancy is lowest for Black men, among Black and white people, according to the CDC National Center for Health Statistics. Black men die 4 years earlier than white men. 7. COVID-19 death. Black men have been the most likely among Black and white Americans to die of COVID-19, at a rate 2.4 times than that of white men, according to CDC data through July 2020. Data showed that 80 of 100,000 Black men in the U.S. had died of COVID-19 by July 4, 2020. Black men are more likely to die from COVID-19. And 8. Criminal justice. Black men face a much higher chance of being incarcerated, according to Bureau of Justice data. The data shows the proportion of state and federal prisoners of each race and gender, compared to the share of the U.S. adult population. Black men are overrepresented among prisoners by a factor of 5. Black men make up the largest share of prisoners.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, those numbers are quite startling.
Yeah.
And not very, I would say, it's not very comforting or enlightening. It's quite disturbing, you know?
It certainly is food for thought. I just want to note that it's important that for you at home listening or wherever you are listening, that you know that it is not our intention to offer our opinions or advice on how you should live your personal life or how your personal relationship should be. Do your own research, be a free thinker, make sure you are doing well in your own life as well, and know that we wish you nothing but love and happiness. And you're correct, Keith. These statistics clearly identify the need for increased knowledge, I believe, education, yeah, and transformative conversations, not just a talk. You know, we don't want to talk about this just to be heard. And we want to engage for change.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you watching and listening as much as we want to share with you. So please use the comment section to participate. While we may not be able to address all the comments in this one show, we do look back on the comments and we consider them for future shows. So, you know, we want you to know that we consider you a key part in what we are doing. Empowerment is what we're about, right?
Yes, yes.
Let me tell you who I am. here talking to you. Like I said before, I'm sitting in for Lady Misty tonight. My name is Coach Raquel, and I'm a certified coach and entrepreneur. As a coach, I enjoy helping people who want to change their lives, people who are seeking transformation, people who want to achieve success in any area of life or of their lives. And I do this by helping persons to recognize and appreciate and value breakdowns, and so they can leverage it and obliterate obstacles to achieve breakthroughs. And I'm here, of course, with
DJ KTE. Yes. On the mic, yes. But yes, folks, that's awesome, and thank you, Coach. And again, you know, we all want to take this time to actually say happy birthday to anyone who may be celebrating the anniversary, birthdays, or any other special occasions. All right, it's important to celebrate ourselves and the people we love. So we do take time on our station to really acknowledge those and highlight those who might be celebrating those special moments. As we head for the February, we call it Love Month, you know, the Valentine's thing going on there.
Is that what you call it?
Just in time to let you know.
So I'm not even, it's just another month.
Just let you know when February comes, just behave yourself. Okay, just remember to behave yourself and be nice.
I hear you. Well, I see a comment here. Entrepreneurs Aloud said oppression of the black man is systemic, it would seem.
Wow.
Well, thank you for your comments. And I like that you're being cerebral about that, you're actually thinking. Yeah.
You know, before we get into that discussion, I know it's gonna be exciting.
Yes.
It is January the 31st, folks. Time is flying. And in 2022, and it's now approximately 9/11. Interesting number, right? 9/11. That's interesting. Anyway.
Why am I laughing?
And I hope you stay until the end of the show, because right after this is a very steaming Giselle St. James with Bible, Cufflinks, and Stilettos.
I'm looking forward to that.
And that's another book by itself. For those who don't mind staying up a little late, you know, a little later, you can get.
I say stay and watch the entire show, because that show. Well, I've been watching because I learned so much from it. But
it's informative. It is.
Yeah, it is very informative, and because it is steamy.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean it doesn't have great value, because I think, and just from my own opinion, I think sometimes the sexuality becomes so tabooed and sensationalized that when we approach topics on it, we may not take it as seriously as we ought to.
True.
You know what I mean? So
I definitely heard that.
I really like the way she presents it and the discussion she has around it.
Well,
you guys can stay up to hear about
it's educational, it's informative. Yeah, I think it's good. It brings a nice,
it's necessary, I believe. Yes. So joining the panel tonight, we have Mr. Richard Smith. He's a temple builder, and we'll ask him. Invite him to tell us a little bit more about himself and what he does and where you can find him if you need a temple built. Yeah.
Yes, there you go.
And we also have with us someone from one of our crew members, someone from UME Radio, and that is DeAndre Burrell. And he is a former NFL pro. He's also, like I said, he's a talk show host here on UME Radio, and his show is called Get Fit. You should check it out. Yes. So I'm hearing.
That's quite long.
Okay. Mr. Smith, is that you?
Good evening. Good evening. Is the echo coming from my end?
I am not sure. I think so. Do you have a headset, earphone?
Yes, actually, let me go retrieve one and I'll be right back. My apologies.
Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. Okay, wonderful. So we're waiting for DeAndre to join us. He's not yet. in. But yeah, so we'll be joined by those two men, and I'm going to be the only lady here.
But I think that
because the ladies.
There you go. Right. So the ladies have representation tonight. All right.
Yes.
And we men will be gentle. Okay. We won't be a big bad bear. We'll break it down real good. So, ladies, don't be scared. We'll be nice tonight. Okay. We bring out the flowers and we bring out the wine and we make it, you know, cozy.
It's all good. All good.
Yeah.
For the topic though, as we wait for them to come on, like, what are some of the, as a black man yourself,
yeah,
do you feel as though you were raised with an intention to lead a family, to lead a marriage, to lead a partnership? Do you feel like you were, that was cultivated within you with intention?
Intention, I wouldn't say directly, more visual than intention.
As in you watched it, as in there was a leader in your life and you watched it, as opposed to you
being
developed in that way?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, it was impacting still. It was impacting.
But I'm not saying, I'm just asking. Yeah. Because the question is, let me just show the topic of the night. So I'm just going based on the topic for the night.
Yeah.
Are black men raised to lead a marriage? Because leadership is not just something that you watch and catch.
But also, I can
know that, but it doesn't mean that isn't important too.
Right.
But the question is, do you think there is intention in it? There is a deliberate effort to ensure that this young man is being raised to marry and to lead in that marriage. And of course, we're talking based, remember, this conversation is based on the last conversation we had where the guy was saying, you know, it would appear to him like black women were not raised for marriage, which the statistics disproved, right?
Right.
With that in mind, go ahead.
But I think that in terms of the intention, I think that as I look back into my own life, right, the intentions were there in a way, but it was in how that framework was, like what a man does. Like, we cut the grass, we water the, you know, we give the cow water, we feed the animals, you know, we go to the farm, we work and bring home the bacon. It was like, it was that kind of intention. By the way, welcome, Mr. DeAndre Burrell. Thank you.
How are you doing? Yes, I'm here. I'm here. I'm just finishing up some work and finding this spot to have this great conversation.
Yes. So we can see your face. We can see your face, sir. And I'm gonna let you know that when I saw the image came up and on the muscle was popping out, I'm like, you know, I looked down and said, my goodness, I gotta get rid of this stomach, man. I gotta get rid of this. There's something right here. What? I gotta change my 22 projection here and set my next
on Saturday.
I want some six packs, all right? Yeah. So you just got me started, DeAndre. So it's your fault. So now I'm gonna path it now to make it happen. All right, thank you, sir.
Can you see me, you said?
Yes, we can see you now. I think you're having a little bit of Wi-Fi going on there, but I think it's going to work out.
Yes. But Keith, in regards to what you said, so you've been raised to carry out tasks is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Like, or whatever. But what would you consider leadership for in a marriage? Wow. What does it look like?
I mean, I think leadership, that's a good question. I think for different people it means different things. But for me, I think it's how you administer your own life in the family and how they receive you in the family, how they treat your delivery, your way of leading. For instance, I give an example. There's a man who maybe makes a lot of money, but he doesn't know how to really manage the money. But he lets his wife, who may be a better money manager, handles it.
He delegates.
No, right. So some men would say, why she controls the money? What, you're the man, control the money. He said, no, it's okay. Even though I may make more money than her, she does a better job in managing the money. So I trust her in that area. So it's how you navigate that manhood and how it's respected in the household. Because sometimes I can say I'm leading, but what am I leading, really? You know, am I leading myself? Am I leading the family? Is there respect and love and honor there? So I think that has to be a kind of a reflection of what it looks like from your approach and how it's received and how it's delivered. That's how I look at leadership.
Right. Let me see if all our guests are back. Oh, DeAndre, can you hear us?
He's back. Yes, he's back. Can you hear us, DeAndre? Yeah.
Richard, can you hear us as well? You're muted.
Yes, good evening. I can hear you. I'm trying to connect my Bluetooth so that you don't hear the echo. So give me one moment.
That's you. Just don't find us now, though. You sound
okay. We don't hear it anyway.
This sounded okay. This is okay?
Yes, you sound fine. Sound great.
Okay.
You sound great.
I'm very happy you're here. I personally requested you because I remember the last time you were here.
So listen, yeah,
I appreciate that.
It's called special delivery, sir.
Thank you for doing
that. Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Yes. I was asking, by a black man's definition, what is leadership?
In the context of a marriage or relationship, I think it's a misnomer. I think husbands and wives lead together. I think, you know, the whole scripture of, you know, women being the weaker vessel has been abused so much in our culture, especially, you know, it's a leadership is a function of, you know, that you're in a partnership agreement. And it really does mean a partnership. So it means that in some aspects, the woman might take the lead, other aspects, the man takes the lead, but there's no true leader in the sense of what I say goes. I think that, you know, that can cause a whole lot of foolishness, you know. So for me, in terms of leadership, I've continued to learn. I said, we're going into our 25th year married. Right. Thank God. This year is 24. We've got three sons. And by way of introduction, good evening, everyone. My name is Richard A. Smith. I am the founder and president.
For yourself, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes, love it. Yeah. Go right ahead.
I'm the founder and president of Temple Builders LLC. We are a licensed insured design builder that specializes solely in the development and the renovation and design of houses of worship throughout the New York tri-state area, pretty much. And all we do is we design and build churches, houses of worship in terms of design, modernization, construction management, project management, and also some development, but all in a very specific niche that God told me to focus on years ago. So that's what we do. I'm a member of one of the leaders at a wonderful church in the Bronx, Christ Life Christian Center. I've been married for 24 years and 3 months. three amazing sons at 22, 19, and 15 that have caused a lot of the gray hair that you see here. All it is God getting me back for some of the foolishness I did to my mother. But they're wonderful young men. So thank God. But as far as leadership, I think the whole thing is it's a fallacy. I think black men in particular do need to be taught how to be leaders, but it's not necessarily for them to lord over a marriage or relationship.
Right. I'm going to share, well, let me speak with DeAndre first before I share my opinions. But there's a difference between leadership and autocracy, dictatorship, or I guess there are different styles of leadership. Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing you talk about the importance of the type in a marriage, I guess, or what it looks like. DeAndre, can you hear us? We can't hear. Oh.
You definitely have some water. You have some water. There you go.
Can you hear me? I do agree with you. Just like I'm a man of God that's looking to be married, right? Find a wife. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So for me, the men that are speaking, it's like that's amazing, because leadership, like Keith said, he said, you know, someone is better in finances, then they may need to lead in that area. So it's like, I agree with that, because, hey, we may be better in one thing than the other, than our partner. And it's a partnership. So if my wife is saying, hey, you know, you're struggling with this, that's her leading me in the right direction so I can go lead. So I feel like that's important, that as a man, we understand that there in our partnership, that there is encouragement, that there is support, that, hey, I can go to my wife and speak about something that needs to be done without maybe any backlash, or, well, you should know what you're doing. You should know how to do this, because at the end of the day, we're forever learning. It's something that I may not know, she may know. Mm-hmm. And now I'm learning from that person. And that's just how I feel about that. Like, we're forever learning. And in a partnership relationship, I'm pretty sure those of you that are married, you're learning from your partner every day. You don't know them fully. So I just feel like it's important that the encouragement and support is there. And I may be leading, but at some point, you know, maybe my wife may be leading in an area that I'm lacking in, but she's showing me and teaching me as well. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it just goes both ways.
Interesting.
Leadership as a man is something I feel like we're lacking in African-American neighborhoods or community. And just being that light and mentor, and understanding that, hey, as a man, we're not perfect. And I think personally, from my experience, that I know that as a man, we like to be strong, because that's what we do, right? We're strong. We don't show emotion. We are like powerful. No, we can't show any type of tears or anything. But at the end of the day, we have feelings too. And, you know, God is the strength of my life. So it may be too much for me. Those burdens and those things may be too much for me. So God is the strength of my life. So if I'm leading you in Christ, then I'm doing my job. You know what I mean? And that's the thing in the partnership, relationship, and marriage. It's like, is the Lord over your marriage? Are you putting God over your house? And I think that's the most important thing. And as a partner, we need to have that understanding. Hey, we're both serving Jesus Christ. And we need to operate in love. And I don't know where I'm going with that, but I feel like the Lord is telling me, hey, that's where it needs to be. We need to operate in love with each other. And leadership is also doing things that you may not want to do. It just needs to get done. And that's just in life, you know, whether it's a goal or a dream or homework or leading a prayer group. Sometimes it may get tough, but it's for the betterment of the people that need it. And it pushes us to go further, and it helps build other leaders or people that are wanting to lead. So we must understand that if Coach Raquel is leading, again, like I said, she may be better in what she's doing than I am, but I'm learning from her so I can become a better leader in that area.
So as I hear you share, and I hear a little from Richard, are we confusing head and leader? Do you think we confuse it sometimes with the head of the household and the leader? It seemed that way to me as I look at that.
I really do struggle with that term in terms of head of household.
Yeah.
Only because, okay, if a man is a head of household, he's almost a figurehead. Uh-huh. Because it's a partnership first.
Right.
Right. And I think if a man, I remember when I first got married, I'm still a knucklehead. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to be like DeAndre and say I've arrived. If my wife was on the line now, she'd have about a 14-page book, might be 15 by the end of this evening, about the stuff that I'm still working on after 24 years.
Yeah.
It might be volume 2, just so we're clear. But the reality is that it's a partnership. What I mean by that is, I remember when I first got married. Oh, you got to do what I got. I had so many stupid things in my head. Okay, you got to cook. You got to do this. And it just was idiotic. It made no sense. I remember we struggled with the whole cooking thing until it was my mother that kind of slapped me in my head and was like, okay, your wife doesn't really like to cook. Not that she can't. That's not really her thing. My mother's like, you like to cook and you cook well. Why are we having a conversation?
Oh, boy.
Amen.
Right? And just like that, it was like an epiphany. Like, you know what? Why am I making this thing an issue just because somehow, you know, coming from the Caribbean or Southern background, a woman is to cook. Mm-hmm. And it was when my mother said to me, but you're an idiot. You like to cook and you know how to cook. Why is this a problem?
Wow.
And once she said that, it clicked. But that doesn't mean I solved all the other issues. There's tons of stuff. Wow. My father was a horrible example to me in terms of how to be a man and how to be a leader in my household. Horrible. My wife and I are talking about it. My mother and I were talking about it yesterday. And so a lot of things, when I say how he was a serial fornicator, and I think only when he got a stroke did he calm down. And so I grew up in a household, I might have never seen my father hit my mother or like cuss her out and call her names, but he treated her like crap every single day that he was there. And guess what? Unfortunately, that behavior translated to how I treated my wife. And forget my wife, just relationships. Because when you grow up in a household where you don't see a man valuing a woman, you don't see him going out of his way for her, you don't see him doing his endeavor best for her, whether he's hitting her or not, all of that crap starts coming, it starts filtering in. And it wasn't just me. I've got two other brothers and all three of us struggle with it. Yeah, so we're on the surface of things, we're good men. You know, but we click many of the boxes, but that doesn't mean there's not crap within us that we still have to plead under the blood and work through. So I think leadership is truly about first looking in the mirror.
Amen.
You got to look in the mirror and say, you know what, my crap stinks just as much as anybody else. Denise and I, my wife, we went out with a couple and it was a blessing. Four of us went out a couple of months ago, and the young lady said, that the husband confided that one of the reasons they wanted to go out with us, because I was so transparent about how tough the road has been for Denise and I. Because, you know, if for me to stand up in church or act as if somehow everything's been perfect, I'd be a liar. So I'm transparent with it, so you know that you can get through it. But some crap is going to remain until the day you die. But that being said, his wife said to him, we are only here after all of these years. I think they've been married whatever amount of years. And she says, because you've changed.
Amen.
No, 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 no. Don't amen that. Here's the issue with that. When a woman says that, it means that they're not looking in a mirror. Because what it puts is all of the onus then has to be on the man. If you change, you're the problem. Were it not for you, our marriage would be perfect. And a lot of women aren't ready to look in the mirror and realize, you know what? The reason why this marriage isn't 100% isn't just the husband. You got 50% of the blame as to why stuff stinks in your household. But a lot of women aren't ready for that. So leadership is about gently both of you coming to the fact of being able to look in the mirror. You got to look in the mirror first, and then you realize the problems in your relationship, marriage or not, didn't start with one spouse, and it's not going to end with one spouse. That's all I got for right now.
Wow. I'll say amen to that then.
I got a brother. Amen. Rebecca, do her thing. I got some questions for Richard and DeAndre.
Yeah. Well said. And let me tell you what I liked about you when you spoke the first time. You led through accountability, and you're doing it again. You see, accountability, I believe, is one of the most
yes,
it's one of the most credible characteristic of a leader. Yes. The ability to own your truth, own yourself, and to be able to vocalize that. Because until your truth comes forth, then whoever you're trying to delegate to won't be listening to you. I think having listened to the conversation, we can, I will say this is an excellent topic that we're choosing to talk about. And I sat here and I thought to myself, these are three men, three Black kings. How do I approach it respectfully? I've never been married. I am not strong in the relationship department. I don't think I'm very good when it comes to honoring men as men. Yes? So let me not just speak my mind. You know, how do I do it? So I'm going to ask if you could permit me to share something. I have a course that is called Learning Personal Branding for Ministry. And in it, I talk about leadership from my own perspective and my own understanding based on what I learned. My father was a broken man, but he led. And he led, and maybe that's the reason when you speak like that, it comes out for me, because both my parents, my mother, I was told left when I was one, and I later met her, but she was never really in my life. She didn't really take any accountability until it came to the end. Love her anyway. But my father would constantly, like I could see this broken man, but he would constantly, you know, just own his stuff and acknowledge that he understood that it impacted me. And so this is something, this is what it says. A leader can be defined as a person who delegates or influences others to act so as to carry out a specific objective. Right? As a coach, when I have someone with me, a leader is someone who brings into existence something that never existed before. Yes? Something never, whether it's a solution, whether it's a resolution, whether it's to create something that's needed, whatever it is. And so as I listen to you all speak, I'm hearing different facets of it, but I'm also hearing that there is a need for its cultivation in our community. Would you agree to that?
Yes.
Because we see different ideas and different thoughts and we see different things, because I also hear the meeting of leadership with head of household. I don't know what that is, to be honest. I don't know that I've ever seen any head of a household. So I don't know what that is, but I do think that for any relationship to be successful, there has to be effective leading and leadership. It doesn't matter who's leading at a time. Everyone has to lead from where they are. But in order for anyone to have successful leadership, we have to at the very core know what is it. And for me, I say no one external from us should define what it means for us. At least that's how I live my life. I change up the days of the week. Yes, I build my life. I have a life plan in such a way that my outcomes are based on me and not the world. Because I think we've been conditioned, and I say this respectfully, we've been so conditioned. Could you mean I'm hoping we're hearing feedback? I'm not sure. We've been so conditioned to delegate that we never really cultivate purpose around delegating, and certainly not divine purpose around delegating. Because, and I think from my own experience being in the church, I think unintentionally we put everything on this God. Oh, God is doing that, man. God is going to take us there, and God is going to do that, and oh, just pray, God is going to. But there's a personal responsibility and accountability that is required. And my experience with God, I get favor when I lead my own life.
Yes.
Well, that's a good point. I think for me, Keith, you've been with, I also lead the men's ministry over at Christ Life Christian Center.
Over you.
Yeah. Well,
And part of the challenge is with men, and DeAndre, I'm sure we as men, if we're being transparent, one of the things that men never say, whether to themselves or in mixed company, hello, my name is Richard Smith. I'm broken. Help me.
Right.
We project this veneer that we got it all together, and we don't. And there's no way. I mean, when I tell you, even as we sit here now, I'm still struggling with some of the challenges that I had while being raised by, you know, a mother and father, but a mother who did everything because my father just wanted to, he made enough money to look good so he can screw other women. Right.
And that's his best.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that I don't think brothers look in the mirror enough to say, okay, you know what? You can't stop trying to fix people if you're not even willing to look in the mirror and realize, because what we know that hurt people.
Yes.
And so I think that's why leadership is so important. And it doesn't mean that I'm perfect. Listen, you know, if a brother, like when we meet for men's ministry, we talk about stuff from infidelity to pornography to there's nothing that we don't touch in church. That's why? Because it's the walk of what most brothers deal with, from the fact that, listen, my household right now is being run so much better financially that my wife is paying the bills. I should have thought of this, you know, 20 years ago. I'd sleep better. Yeah. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have to pony up, but it means the minutia of me having to do all of that stuff. She just doesn't. I don't know how she does it, because she doesn't, like, on a pad. I'm like, we have all this technology. Why are you writing in this notepad? But bottom line is, if it gets done, why do I care?
Wow.
And so but that's part of leadership. Like, stand down, stand back, be vulnerable, own your crap, and look in the mirror.
Be vulnerable. And
so I think that to your point, Richard, you know, I think about leadership in this sense as well. A man has a ministry or a calling or a purpose, right? And so he drives to fulfill that purpose. Now, you know, if we want to get back to God's original plan, he made for man, God is ultimate wisdom, as all known, he's powerful. He created this world, and he created man. And he had a plan for the man. And he put everything in place for the man to, and when I say man, I mean both male and female.
I'm not offended.
To exist and do well. And yet still, he has a master plan with a master idea. They still went and messed it up. So I think about us now, in our time, and trying to live for God and be the man and woman, you know, who can master own lives and also help influence other people's lives, whether it's a family, in the sense, a wife or husband. I think about the fact that there are things sometimes you will do being led by God. I'll be led by what you believe is correct, your passion, your conviction. And that conviction may at times seem dissonance to what your spouse or maybe those that you lead in may have an influence on, maybe not adhering to or not flowing with. Like your pastor or members who don't flow with their ministry, they have to sometimes go to points of, come on guys, let's get together here. Let's come back together again. We're not unified here. Yes, he's still preaching the word. He's trying to preach, trying to give the thing straight, but then people vary from that. So you have it in marriage as well, where you have the man say, listen, hey, this got to go this way. We need to move from here. And sometimes it's a directive, it's a direction that God is telling him. And he's not asking for an apology, he's not asking for a sit down and chit chat coffee. We got to move, we got to go here. And sometimes, what is that picture coming? I'm hearing this kind of veneering kind of, well, it's all lovey dovey and let's have a conversation. And so there has to be a balance there somewhere where the man is the man and how he leads with authority. And when God says move, he moves. And they're on their time, but now that way, the way it's approached, there's a sense of conversation or some kind of coming together. So, but how do you look at those two things?
I like that. I mean, Richard, you can speak on it. Like I said, I'm not married yet. Coach Raquel, you gonna get married. Just keep believing the Lord for that. And,
I'm not even hoping or not hoping anymore. I trust this plan. You know, Richard said something. He let go. He said, he spoke about, and I might paraphrase, but he said, you know, I grew up one way and I was doing it this way and it wasn't working for me. And I had to just be like, we were just going to do it our way. She's doing the finances. She's doing the finances. We move on. The most important lesson I've ever learned with leadership is to let go.
Yes.
Let go. The thing is, Keith, with what you just said is this, yes? If we don't have a plan, and a lot of persons who are in lead, you see, there's a difference with being in a leadership position and actually leading.
Yes.
See? A leader is the one who lifts the other people up, not the other people lifting him up. And a lot of us has that very, very confused. Our leader is someone who not just hits the target, but considers the impact of that target. Yeah? The leader is the person who, when everything gets rough and painful, they're able to sit in it and say, okay, you know what? I'm gonna take this one. And we're all leading, you know? We're all leading in something. And another thing that we do, and I think this is why I think leadership training is important for families. How I see it anyway, because I know should I ever get married, it's not going to be like anything I've seen. Yes? It's going to be like a business. Because
oh,
that's
Lord.
Yes.
Like a what?
Like a business. In that.
Explain.
There has to be a plan. There has to be a strategy. We're going to sit down and decide, what are you good at? What am I good at? And you know the most important thing that I think is missing in all our leadership today? We don't know how to appreciate and value breakdowns. We see breakdowns as a problem. We say it here today. Oh, I made a mistake. Oh, I failed. Oh, I did that. Well, this is what I ask. Because I've had to ask myself this. I've had thoughts that I didn't intentionally think. And I had to say to God one day, like, what was that? That was not me. I didn't think that. It came to my mind, but that was not me. And it took me a while to learn that it wasn't just me. There really is a God who's not mystical. He's right here with me. Right here. I mean, physically, very present. Yes, but I was brought up thinking, oh, he's somewhere. You know, he was with Adam. So when things go wrong, I used to blame other things. I don't do that anymore. Because I realized that I don't believe in good or bad anymore. I don't believe in right or wrong anymore. I believe in what is divine purpose and what isn't divine purpose. Yes? This is my question. God is the creator of all of us and all of what we do. Why is it that we do not also go back to him with the failures, the brokenness, the quote unquote sin? Then like why would we not go back to him to say, God, like this right here, when this sin happened, was there purpose for it? Do you understand what I'm saying? Like for me, God told me my greatness is in my brokenness. And that's when I started embracing, because it wasn't really brokenness. It was brokenness according to how the world defined it, right? So why wouldn't we go back to him to learn or to figure out what this brokenness in me is, as opposed to just shutting down?
I mean, interesting enough. Interesting enough, a lot of men, you know, as John was saying earlier, they don't do a lot of things outwardly. A lot of men, when they're home alone in the middle of the night, they get down sometimes and they do some bawling, some crying, and some thinking. We don't see more of that publicly, but I believe that it happens more than we think. But Richard, what do you say about that?
I hear you. I thought about something that DeAndre said, which I really kind of, it spoke to where I was years ago in terms of even as he's looking for a wife and trying to then kind of clean up some stuff or get himself ready. Because I think that's where the power of discussions like this is in, Okay, if you're married, this is how it can help. But certainly if you're not married, then what are the self-checklists that you can go through so you don't visit all of your madness on your partner, right? So to answer the question, I don't know if I fully think that men are opening up like that. What I see is just the opposite. You know, brothers are 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years old and have never really looked in a mirror. Wow. They have never, let's say they had less than ideal childhood where either the father was not present or the father was less than. You would be stunned how many brothers hit 60 and have never had a real conversation about it.
Wow.
And all they've done is visited their brokenness. Them not even, they visited their brokenness on their children, on their spouses, on their partners. There's so many things that men need to talk about and we just don't. So for me, I think that's kind of the first, one of the first steps is, you know, introduce yourself to a mirror.
Yes. I like when start, you say, yes.
Yeah, and stop blaming. And the same thing with women. You know, it's both. It's not just men. You know, men are not here to fix women. Men are not, we're never put on the earth to make women happy. It's not right. Our job. It's not my right. job to make my wife happy. It's my job to be the very best Richard that I can be. She's got to find happiness and purpose in her own life. And together, 1 + 1 = 3. But if she's unhappy, I tell you this, I've said this once to brothers, listen, if your wife is miserable, she's only using you as a scapegoat. Because when you, if she tosses you out and gets another man, she'll be just as miserable.
Everywhere
because
I go,
she's trying to have you fix what's going on with her. So I'm a big proponent of counseling. I think all Black people, everybody needs to be on somebody's couch.
Everybody
got to be. If you've gone through a divorce, you shouldn't even consider marriage until you've been on somebody's couch at least a year and go through what help caused it. Because you part of the problem.
Yes. Right. You are so spot on. And you see that thing about, I think we may need to start teaching people what is a breakdown.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes.
Some people call it failure. I call it a breakdown. Because a breakdown is there to say, this is what's missing. This is what's showing up. Now, what do we do with this?
Yeah.
I think the only thing someone is, quote unquote, obligated to do with you when you come to a relationship is agree to be in it. I think that's the extent of expectation to me. The rest of it is your own work.
Right.
It's only the I am here, the commitment, I am here, I'm going to work through it or whatever. But beyond that, I don't know what else someone else owes somebody else. And you are so correct. We go into relationships thinking men should save us, men should provide. I was listening to the thing before about the and I heard finances so many times. But even when I listened to the data, the amount of thing is against the Black man. When does he have time to learn leadership? When he's constantly being told, you do not belong here. You will not have any authority here. Like, I'm listening to the thing and I'm like, if I was a Black man, I would just feel myself going deeper and deeper into a little dark corner with everything that was read.
Question, DeAndre. Can I ask DeAndre a question?
Yes, sure.
So, brother, as someone that is looking to find a good woman, find a wife, and settle down, do you think it's important as a preparatory step or in participation of what you're trying to do that you possibly go to counseling? The reason why I'm not trying to pick on you, what I'm trying to say is it's something that I've said to brothers that I've met. Before you start thinking about a serious relationship, there's a bunch of baggage that we walk in. No man, there's no perfect man, the same way there's no perfect woman. So DeAndre has baggage coming back from his childhood, from what has happened over the last 20 or 30 years. And some of that has affected his actions and his interactions. I know that because that's just universal across the sexes. So DeAndre, do you think it's something that you would say to yourself, you know what, maybe before I go seriously into a relationship, maybe I need to sit down on somebody's couch and really try to work through some stuff? Just a question.
Yeah, I think so. I know my pastor in California, she does counseling, and I think it's important to get prepared for marriage. right? Because if I'm not taking the necessary steps and I'm thinking, hey, my name's DeAndre Burrell, I got it figured out. No, because I need the wisdom and knowledge going into this and be able to have counseling with someone that has been through it, that's having a successful marriage, that's putting God before their life and over their marriage, and listening, and also me expressing things that I've gone through, or maybe things that I've seen in different marriages, you know, through friends or my own parents, and not having that expectation like this is how it's supposed to be. And I think that's the thing. I know Coach Raquel said it, but that expectation, that's where things become a problem. And in my personal walk, I don't have, I work and do my best to not have an expectation on somebody. The accountability part is important for leadership and leading. But also, if someone doesn't know, this is why what you're asking me is important too, that we're being taught, teaching it. So now you're teaching me. Now I'm understanding. Now I can see clear. Now I am aware on how to lead and what to do, how to do it. But with that, I believe the counseling is important, just so you can cross the T's, dot the I's, shed off that dead weight, so you're not carrying it into your relationship, because you want to make sure this is your partner. You want to make sure this is your lifetime partner. You want to make sure that, hey, God, I'm doing my best. I'm praying to you, but I'm also taking action in what I'm doing because this is important to me. Thank the you, action. The time. Action.
Time is against us.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal. I love that. Take action. And that's fantastic. Absolutely. That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And just to wrap up, I just want to acknowledge Apostle Faith Walters, Dr. Faith Walters. She said, everything begins with a self-reflection. Richard Smith, you're so on point about men looking into the mirror about themselves and women. I'm putting that one in. What do one think about Bishop Noel Jones, engaged to a woman for 25 years? Now he's decided to put a ring on it at age 72. And then therapy is quite important before going into a marital relationship. Now we're going to be transitioning to Bible cufflinks and stilettos, but I didn't want to leave before saying this. Leadership is important, it's critical, but in order to be good at anything, we have to first seek and ask in order to receive, yes? And to receive, we also need to learn how to release. And I think that's what the panel is talking about. I believe there are two most important investments in my life, therapy and coaching. Therapy and coaching. Need to know self before we can start thinking of even getting to know anybody else, because our own trauma, our own issues color everything we see, and thereby colors everything we do. And so leadership is about bringing into existence what has never what is not yet present in that instant, in that moment, in that whatever is happening. It doesn't mean what's not in existence in the world. It just means in whatever is happening in that moment between two people. And I do believe that what I hope for the persons who are watching right now is that we learn how to create relationships, not just based on emotions and attraction, but really learn to understand divine purpose for alignment. Alignment, for divine alignment, and not so much just to get into a relationship, because I do think sometimes that's what we do. Now I'm going to give, we have like a minute and a half to go. I'm going to give you each like 20 seconds just to say whatever you want to say to those who are listening. Whatever your final message.
This is my 20 seconds. It's just important to, we go after goals, right? You go after goals, you go after finance, you go after career. Go after yourself. Become the best self first. Mm. Because when you become your best self first, you're able to operate in all your gifts, all of your gifts, whether it's career, finance, relationships. So work on yourself. Become who you are, who God created you to be. That is the way you'll be able to lead, find a wife, find a husband. You got to be your best self. And in order to do that, it takes a lot of how could I say? Not a lot. It just takes self-discipline.
Thank you. I'm so sorry for cutting you off. Richard, go ahead.
Good evening. Thank you again for having me on. It's a blessing. God bless you all. I just say the most important thing, one of the most important aspects of this, of men's, Black men leadership, is to self-assess and seek help.
Yes.
You're not going to figure out on your own. Some of the things you've been through, you will need help to work through. God is there. The Spirit of God is there. But there's a bunch of good, godly men and women that you can sit down to and talk to, so that when you present yourself for marriage, you're a better version of yourself and you're not walking in with all of the drama undiagnosed. It's better to, at least, even if you're walking into the marriage with it, at least have it diagnosed and not just be an undiagnosed cancer that just continues to ferment our problems. Thank you again.
Gentlemen, let me say thank you for coming on tonight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys are really awesome. And I'll tell you again, another inspiring show. I'm inspired. I'm challenged to be even better. And, of course, my co-host Raquel tonight for covering for our Lady Misty. Thank you. I say bless to one and all. And see you next time.
I'd like to give my final word, too. I just, if I may, I'd like to say this. You will never get a result greater than the quality or quantity of your relationships. Relationships are critical for you to thrive in this life. Invest in it the way you invest in your education. Have awesome. A good night.
Good night, guys.
Underneath it all, who are we sexually? Bible, cufflinks, and stilettos with Giselle St. James. Monday nights at 10 p.m. For mature audiences only.
We cannot hear you.
Hi, everyone. I just realized that I was muted. Welcome to Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos, everybody. Welcome, welcome. I hope you've been well since the last time we saw each other. As for me, I have been so excited to be here with you tonight, and I really rushed over as the clock struck 4. I rushed over because I really, really wanted to be here with you tonight. So if you know me, you know that 4 o'clock and work is not me. I'm normally way into the night for me when it comes to work. But when it comes to Mondays, I'm out of here by 4, because on Mondays, I have to be with my BCS peep. So what up, everybody? What up? What up? What up? As you know, I am Giselle St. James, author, counselor with experience as a social worker. I write romance novels. And while I'm here, I try to talk up a steam while I'm here on this show. And this is all in hopes of empowering couples who want to have successful marriages. Now, you and I both know that it requires more than just sex in order to have a great marriage, don't it? Yes, we know that. But research shows, ladies and gentlemen, you guys out there, that a failed sex life often leaves persons living in torment. And these broken relationships often leads to divorce. Now, if you don't want that to be your fate, join me live on Mondays at 10 p.m. And you may be lucky to get your questions answered. And you know what? If you need support beyond this show, you may check out our family empowerment program at familyalltheway.com. And also, you may email us at info@familyalltheway.com or family@umeradio.com. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue to explore the topic, are we raised to value sex? So come on, man, let's reason together, join in on the conversation. And if you find this information useful, I want you to continue to share this video, comment, like, subscribe. Oh, and don't forget to make sure that you click that notification bell so that you'll always be reminded of when we go live. So as you know, before we get into our show tonight, we like to do our little self-check exercise. So out loud or in your head, I want you to say this with me. I am relaxed. I am open to what this segment tonight will teach me about myself. I am excited to share this information with my partner. I am ready to put into practice what I have been empowered to do. I am going to ask questions, share my experiences, anything that will enhance this session. And so, Lord, we commit tonight to you in a very powerful way. We ask that you continue to give us insight into those things that will help to improve the relations between a man and his woman. Lord, we are so happy that you made us such sexual beings, and I'm happy that we are owning that side of us in order to help to enhance what you have put together. Thank you for what we'll discuss tonight, and I thank you for those persons who will go home or while they're at home will practice what they've been empowered to do. We are committing these relationships to you in a mighty way. Thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our guest tonight is Robert Anthony. Robert is a multi-talented poet, a motivational speaker, spiritual leader, author, and youth leader. He is transparent and seeks to be transformational in how he interacts with others. Hailing from humble beginnings, he keeps his feet firmly grounded in pragmatic theology and radical Christianity. Welcome, welcome to Bible Cufflinks and Stilettos, Roberts. Welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
I am so happy to have you here. Boy, a long time we know each other, don't you, Robert?
Yeah, a while.
From far, yes.
Yeah, a while.
We're coming from far. So, Robert, we have been talking about this topic since last week. Are we taught to value sex? And I just wanted to share something because we want to get a little deeper this week. So according to Grossman, Jenkins, and Richard in 2018 in their article, Parents' Perspective on Family Sexuality Communication from Middle School to High School in the International Journal of Environmental Research and Public Health, they say, parents' conversations with teens about sex and relationships can play a critical role in improving teenage reproductive health by reducing teens' risky sexual behavior. Mm-hmm. So, Robert, talk to me. Talk to the viewers. Do you think as a people we place any worth on sex and physical intimacy?
All right. So, as I thought about this, there are two perspectives that we can come from to speak about, if you want to call it the devaluing of sex, all right? And I can get a little bit nerdy first. So some people reject it. Some people reject it in terms of what they call PSTS, post-slave traumatic syndrome. Ooh. And I know, yes, we're back on slavery, and persons are trying to say we are beyond that. But we're not really beyond that. Mm-mm. What this is a multi-generational attachment to certain of the dehumanizing practices mm-hmm. that we would have undergone as a people. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, you want to reject it. Why not try to treat the thing before you throw it out? Because when you think about persons who have been oppressed or enslaved, not just blacks, right? I've had the opportunity to live in a predominantly white environment, but they had their struggles as well in terms mm-hmm. of oppression and you know, being almost removed from their own society.
And that's in Northern Ireland.
Yes, not having rights in their own society. Mm-hmm. Now, because of what they went through in the 60s and 70s, I find similar practices, very, very similar practices in terms of substance abuse and mm-hmm. sex among that far removed society from Jamaica from the Caribbean, from South America, because Brazil has one of the largest black or African population as well in the world outside of Africa. Yes. And you see the exact same kind of value system and the dismantling of their value system and mm-hmm. no people trying to get over this.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's just laying the nerd foundation that there is that thing. When we think about how men were treated, for example, we are Jamaicans in Jamaica, but not just Jamaica, wherever African slaves were, the mm-hmm. males were taught to be, you know, kind of the village ram. So he goes around
and
impregnate mm-hmm. women. So one male having maybe 15 children on a plantation.
That's right. Because
he's just a cattle. And his role as the sturdy, you know, strong body kind of man.
Strong body book. Yes.
It's just to go out and impregnate women. So we see where mm-hmm. this kind of promiscuity, kind of, if not dealt with from that perspective, mm-hmm. can infiltrate how the generation before affects the generation now and then the generation coming, you know, in terms of how sex is taught to people.
And how it is viewed.
How it is viewed as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In a contemporary setting, we look on how society treats sex. So one man says, show me who writes the song of a society or a nation, and I don't care who writes her laws.
Mm.
I think we undervalue the effect of music and song and songwriting on the psyche of our people. Here's what the Bible says. Speak to each other mm-hmm. in Psalms, a musical, rhetorical form, art form, literary form, hymns, again, music, and spiritual songs.
Speak
to each other. Mm-hmm. In one place, it says, encourage each other with these kind of format. We know the Saul story. Whenever we talk about music as a church, we can't escape the Saul and David scenario.
Yes.
The effect of music on the psyche and the mental processes of a human being cannot be undermined. No. Let's start in America first. Me and Mrs. Jones.
Woo!
Right?
That's one of those popular songs.
It's a very popular song, but this is a man talking about him and Mrs. Jones. And a wife.
Yes.
And somebody else's wife.
Not his wife. Right.
Right? And we have all these side chick songs as well, you know, popular side chick songs, which continue to not just tell the man that he can have multiple partners, but telling the young lady that she can settle to be a side chick.
A side chick. And those are what is feeding our young people's minds now and replacing the teaching that should have come, even from us as parents.
Yes.
Now those songs are replacing those sexual values and mores that we should have been teaching them.
Straight up.
Yes.
And if we come to Jamaica, it's a whole different ball game.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Oh, yes.
One of the most controversial songs now, which is kind of dividing certain fractions of the dance hall, mm-hmm. is a song by Shensia.
Yes.
Right?
I
don't know what the lyric is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that song is definitely showing the divide
that
is happening in our society
where
valuing sex is concerned
and
devaluing sex is concerned.
Right.
But that is the immoral side, right?
Mm. Yes.
I think the church as well has failed to inculcate proper values to prepare people for marital sex and the purity of
marriage.
Because we have spent so much time fighting against the worldview that's out there in society, the mm-hmm. norms of society, and how society has idolized sex in a way that it has become immoral.
Lascivious, yes.
Yeah. So most of our talk about sex in the church is that sex should not be practiced in an immoral way. So we
don't do it. And sometimes we stop it at that. Don't do it.
That's it. And that's mm-hmm. that is it. We are only pushing the fight against sex as an immoral act. Right. That is the only thing we are pushing.
Yes.
So if I've heard 20 sermons about sex, barring maybe the one I've heard from Carla Dunbar, everything else I've heard is fighting against fornication.
Against fornication, yes. True.
Let me show you how this affects individuals in marriage. I was in the States and the church, we were for a youth conference, but I was sitting in the adult education class, right? And the pastor was talking about communion and, you know, how a person should prepare themselves for communion and that kind of thing. And one lady, a married woman in the congregation, said, the Sunday of communion and the Saturday night before the Sunday of communion, she would not engage in sex because she would feel, a married woman, she would not engage in sex with her husband because she would feel dirty to take communion.
Wow.
And I believe, again, this is just how the church has constantly been fighting against sex as in, from a moral perspective.
Mm-hmm.
That people are coming into marriages and we have messed sex, mm-hmm. even within the Christian, the church. So we have secularism, which has muddied the water and kind of, you know, mm-hmm. dirty up sex. And we have religiosity, which has also dealt with sex from a negative perspective.
Negative perspective, yes.
So I always use this one. We hear about becoming one. And, you know, if you have sex outside of marriage, you're merging your spirit and your soul with someone else. Mm-hmm.
One flesh.
But the one flesh union is, I've never ever, and I have a book to write, but I can't write it yet. But I've never in my life heard, and I've been to many church meetings, right? I've been preaching from I was 16 or 17, somewhere there. I've been to church in South Africa, in Northern Ireland. I've been to church in mm-hmm. England. I've been to church in Barbados, St. Lucia, Grenada. I've been to church. I'm all churched out. I've been to church in a lot of places. And I've never ever heard one speaker tell a married couple or educate people how to enjoy or employ.
Embrace it even.
Intentional oneness of sex in marriage. I have never ever, and that is valuable. That is absolutely valuable.
It is.
And I've never ever heard that.
It
is. So I believe that in many ways, the church is guilty. Not as guilty because we are still trying. I understand the sincerity of the fight. I understand why we are vigilant about preserving the sacredness of sex and the purity of sex. I understand.
Yeah.
But we were created to have sex for pleasure, to have sex that is pleasing.
When
you speak about the bed of the married people.
Yes. It's undefiled.
Undefiled.
Yes.
And it's honorable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How do we encourage people to embrace that? How do we encourage people to embrace their sexuality?
Yes.
Sex.
Right.
Yeah?
Yes.
How do we?
And that's so important.
It is.
That's important. And that's one of my questions that I want to ask you. How do we start to have a conversation surrounding sex and physical intimacy? How do we start as a people to have that conversation?
We first, I'm a Genesis 1 and 2 baby. Like, my theology stems a lot from Genesis 1 and 2. And my anthropological views as well comes from that. So, in the beginning, God created man. The Hebrew word used here is the word Adam, which speaks about man as a creational being reflecting his creator.
Yes?
That's why it is as Adam that he was given the creative task to name the animals. Then the Bible says that God created now Zakar and Nekiva or Nekiba, depending on which Hebrew text to take.
Mm-hmm.
So man as Adam is creational in the image of God, reflecting his creator. The next thing that God said about the human race after he now makes that gender distinction is that man is penis and woman is vagina. Because the word zakar means phallic. Mm-hmm. The word nekiva or nekiva means to be pierced or intrusion, that which is hidden.
Yes.
So our identity as the next identity is sexual.
It's sexual. Wow.
And we have begin again, Genesis 1 and 2 is crucial if we're going to understand kingdom living, dominion living on earth. Yeah. God didn't repent of what he did in Genesis 1, 28. He didn't repent of that.
Mm-mm.
Yes, he didn't repent of the intentions for creating man, which was to have dominion and replenish and all like that, all that kind of nice things. But when God created man, Zakar and Nekiva, he created them to form a synergy of intimacy, a synergy unrivaled by anything else that was in the creative order, because he gave man the mandate to replenish. So he had to create not just the tools, the Zakar and the Nekiva aspect, the phallic and the pierced aspect of the humankind, but then he created them to come together to form one, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, flesh of my flesh, flesh that interacts.
Yes.
Is what that is saying, right? So we are created with the necessary part for flesh to interact. Now, I oftentimes tell people that it's great. I love how females think, but God did not use the psychological aspect of what a female is to define her. He didn't use the resilience or the strength, that kind of thing, of a man or a male to define him. He used what was base and what is at birth can be identified.
Yes,
it's a boy, it's a girl.
It's one a girl. Yes,
to watch is Meet the Mitchells, and this there's this big thing about what gender is the baby. So those are the distinguishing factor. And God created us like that.
That's way.
He took the light in creating us with penis and vagina. He took the light in these things. Yes? Now, they were created for replenishing, but they were created
for pleasure.
Yes.
Talk about it.
Yes? They were created for pleasure. We have allowed for too long the world to demonize sex by putting this pain reality into sex. And if the woman's belly bottom is not being pumped, listen to the words that the world use. Listen to the words that the world use. And I did this in my youth group once. I gave the females a cartridge paper and told them to write on the cartridge paper what they would like the vagina to be called. Right? And then I told the men to write words on another sheet of cartridge paper of what the penis is called in popular or pop culture, in our culture. And I put both sheets of cartridge paper together, and the disparity was extremely staunch. So females came up with words like hidden treasure, golden apple, and all these wonderful, wonderful words that they would like the Nekiva to be referred to as.
Yes.
Now, in our culture, the penis is called anaconda. Rod.
Rod.
This weaponizing. And if you go to the acts of sex as well, or act of sex, and what it is called, ramming, stabbing, slapping up, mush up, and these kind of things, daggering, it removes intimacy.
True. True.
And the church has to create a sexual culture within the kingdom of God.
Oh, that my goodness.
Reintegrates intimacy into the sexual life.
Boy, Robert, I don't want to stop you, you know. I don't want to stop you, but we are so out of time, and I just really wanted to get to some of these comments. You know, Satin Brownie says that she loves the sexification that's going on. Come on, she's saying that we have to come out of the dark and come into the light. Word. Go ahead, Satin Brownie. We really do have to. And she also says, when we talk about immoral, we think church and world. Morality or immorality is people everywhere in all places and spaces. Entrepreneurs Aloud says the miseducation of a nation through the miscommunication of the single most important essence is in life, sex. So true. And you know, I also want to look at what Satin Brownie says. Darn right. And to enjoy it in action or conversation freely and healthily. Self-rescue your sexuality. And I just want to also look at WAMO Ministries. For most of the preachers, there isn't anything going on in their bedroom. Look at that. So heavenly minded. So they are no earthly good. How can you teach something that you don't have an experience about? Beautiful. And you know, Shantar Swaby, I know we need an hour. All this information is so refreshing and enlightening. It's really great hearing this kind of information in the way that it's being shared. Robert Anthony, we are not done, you know. Robert Anthony, we are not done talking about this. We really and truly need to open the eyes and even the minds of persons who are listening all over the world. Listen, we're in 116 countries, Robert. We are in 116 countries, and all of these persons are hearing this message tonight. So we're not done. I want to thank you guys, all of you, Satin Brownie, Cherise Anderson, Shantar Swaby, Latoya Gay, who gave us the name of the song. She said it's called Lick It. Robert,
yeah, I know. I didn't want to say it.
Yeah. You know, we want to thank WAMO Ministries, all of our viewers tonight. I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you, Robert, for coming in and really giving us a robust discussion. We're not through yet talking about, are we taught to value sex? Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, remember, if you want us to talk some more about some things that you think are important, remember that you can email us at info@familyalltheway.com or family@umeradio.com. Next time, see you same place, same time, walk good. Remember, have great sex as the Lord intended.
And now for today's spotlight. UME Radio was originally founded in 2009. Back then, it was called Advanced Media Production. After winning first place in the Jamaica Broilers Fair Play Awards, the company ceased operations around 2012. In December 2018, the company was rebranded and brought back into operations with new ownership. And in February 2019, it launched its first radio station, UME Radio, under the call sign WUME-DD New York. UME Radio is a digital radio station owned and operated by UME Digital Media Inc., a digital studio and multimedia company, headquartered in Bronx, New York. Our brands are committed to inspiring, educating, and entertaining people through transformative and empowering content. Our mission is to reach 1 million households, touch 1 million lives, and showcase 1 million brands. Get the UME Radio app for the full experience, available via your Apple and Google Play stores. If you want to listen on the web, you may go to app.umeradio.com or via our website at www.umeradio.com. Our content can be watched on Kareeb Vision. You can also listen in via Amazon Music, iTunes, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Google Podcast, Podbean, TuneU, Live 365, Spotify, Stitcher, Player FM, Listen Notes. For all business inquiries, contact us at info@umeradio.com. This station is 100% community funded. To support us, please visit umeradio.com/get involved. Subscribe on YouTube, Instagram, and everywhere online at UME Radio. Thank you for supporting us. UME Radio, positive entertainment 24/7.
Did you find this information helpful? Please let us know. And if you have a topic on your mind, which you would like for us to talk about, do not hesitate to reach out. Email us at ltransers@gmail.com. For access to resources and additional information, please sign up free at our support website, www.familyalltheway.com. If you need help, connect with Dr. Faith Walters at www.familyalltheway.com/therapy with Dr. Faith. get the help you need to develop and maintain strong, healthy relationships. Thanks for watching.